You could have also titled it "When Shit Happens," the Circle Jerk song.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's also fair, yeah. Welcome to the Toddcast, where Justin and I go to concerts and get real tired.
Yeah.
We're old.
Recovery. Yeah. Oh, it's a good thing I have my electrolytes in my drink here, so
I'm doing it the shitty way, so.
yeah. Yeah, my wife actually ordered this new powder, the electrolyte powder, like 0 calories, and it's like raspberry lemonade, and it's really good. I'm like, I would drink this stuff normally if it was even if it wasn't good for me. I was like, it's good stuff.
All right. So while everybody catches up now that the email goes, hey, they're 25 minutes late, but they're doing it. Just a reminder, in Cranberry, we have a super awesome Silver Age selection. You can check out the list of the stuff on the website. Then you can just come in and check out the prices. Unfortunately, I didn't take the time to type all the prices into the giant sheet. So sorry. It's just how you're gonna have to deal with it.
I don't want to go to Cranberry to see some of that.
You're gonna have
Jeez.
to, sorry.
I work for you, get God damn it.
Well, just look at the sheet and then ask, like, email them about prices. That'll be fine. Which, speaking of Cranberry, we're still hiring. Somebody, please God, apply. Please, please God. If your name is John, you're probably gonna get hired because that's all that apparently work here. So don't forget the last Saturday of the month is local comic shop day. We are doing 50-cent dollar books in all locations, and then if you missed free shirt day, you spend $25 to get an NDC shirt. Because we have a couple left. So come out for that. The 21st. 21st? Yeah. 21st is Batman Day. Yay. Which apparently Lunar doesn't actually give a shit about, or DC doesn't really give a shit about because they don't really promote it. But go to the mills, 12 to 3. We have almost a dozen Batman family cosplayers that you can take your photo with. All local guys. A lot of them are part of Cosplay for a Cause. Sarah Spector, All Star Cosplay, Commander Snips. Oh man, there's a bunch. We're basically gonna have at least one Batman, a Nightwing, Harley, Poison Ivy. Who else? There's somebody else that I'm thinking. Hold on. I can look this up. Hold on. I just sent it to someone.
Look that up, but you can't look the prices up
I
for the
can.
comic book.
Shut up. Batgirl, Wonder Woman, Catwoman, and a Robin. And maybe one more Batman. That's literally how they said it to me. I was like, cool, multiple Batman. Cool. I like Batman. Batman everywhere. Also, we're.
You will not see us there. We will be at Baltimore.
You're right. We will be at Baltimore.
So if you
Unless.
see us in Baltimore and say hi, we'll
Absolutely.
gladly say that. Yeah.
I mean, we'll either. I will at least be wearing either a New Dimension shirt or a Three Rivers Comic Con shirt. So if you see me come up, I like high fives. It's a good time.
I will also, but if we are still there Sunday, I am going to be a dick and I am going to wear a Steeler jersey in
Ooh,
Baltimore.
we may have to leave. We may not go to the show. We'll just leave from the hotel. It'll be fine. It'll depend on if I have to get something sketched or pick up a sketch or something. Oh, and lastly, we are giving away tickets to two more shows next week. So our friends at Stage AE are awesome and they are hooking us up. If you go out to the mills anytime, I believe now till Sunday, you can enter to win two tickets to Dashboard Confessional on Tuesday and Megadeth on Wednesday. I will be at both of those shows. Justin will be with me on Thursday or Wednesday at Megadeth, and then we will be tired for the podcast again next Thursday. It'll be great.
Yes.
So, that's gonna really suck. Oh yeah, next week podcast is in the morning, like at
We're gonna be
10 a.m.
rough.
maybe, 10-ish probably.
I may be popping a gummy and smoking like my clothes at the same time at the podcast. You'll see
Right.
a different side of me than normal, guys. It'll be
Because
great.
Well, because I have to work till 8, and then we're driving immediately to Baltimore. So we're going to get there at like midnight, 12:30. So it's going to be funny because I'm going to pick Justin up and he's going to immediately fall asleep in my car. It's going to be great because his bedtime's like 9 o'clock. It's not even a joke. So as long as you don't try to stab me this year, I think I'll be okay though. So that was
Hey, it was
very
security purposes.
true. Those of you who don't remember that story, we went up to the room and Justin's like, oh, I'm gonna take a nap and I'll be down in a little bit. And I was like, all right, cool, I'm gonna go downstairs. And he never comes down. So I go upstairs and like this had to be like 1 a.m. And I let the door shut behind me. And by that time, I'm like at the foot of his bed and he hears the door and he sees me out of his slightly cracked eye and he jumps up. He's like, ah! And he grabs his knife off he had his knife out and ready to go on the nightstand. And I was like, do not stab me, I will fire you. It was hilarious.
See, boys and girls, there's a lesson is when you screw with people in their lifetime when they're a kid, you get jumpy when you're asleep and then you have an automatic defense. You found out it that way. My wife found out that way when I first stayed over the first night because she woke me up and I almost threw her
Whoa.
backwards.
Well,
It wasn't intentional or anything. It was just
to see you jumpy.
the
It's okay.
shock
I
is,
understand. You get jumpy. It's okay.
I've gotten better. It's just unfamiliar surroundings probably don't help.
Right.
It's not like we spend every night in Baltimore.
That's fair. Oh, looks like Marvin's in the chat. What's up, bunny? Oh, something that we didn't announce yet. But Tom Scioli is going to be doing a signing for Godzilla Monsterpiece Theater, his new Godzilla book, at the Waterfront on October 23rd, which is the Wednesday it comes out at 6:30. So he'll be there 6:30 to close. So you get an hour and a half to get your book signed. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tom's a great guy. And if you haven't picked up his Jack Kirby book or his Stan Lee book, make sure you do that too, or his Witchman. Also a great book. All right, let's do some reviews. I think that's all we had to talk about, right? I didn't miss it.
Yeah. Well, we could talk about the other stuff after first couple
Yeah,
of words.
we're gonna talk about Beetlejuice afterwards. How's that?
Yeah.
Well, actually, yeah. Let's talk about the we're taking a moment of silence for a couple people today. First, the big guy. The most possibly the most famous villain, or one of the most famous villains ever, Darth Vader's voice, James Earl Jones. I loved him in so many things. Conan.
Yeah. I liked him in Field of Dreams, very
Yeah.
underrated character, actually. And people are like, oh, yeah, he was in Field of Dreams. A lot of people totally forget that he
Yeah.
was part of Field
Coming
of
to
Dreams.
America. He was in both Coming to America.
Yes. Yeah.
He was Simba's dad in Lion King. He was in a lot of cool stuff and he will be greatly missed. He's got a very big legacy. Also our two comic creators have passed away this last week. One is Carl Moline, who did Frey. And a bunch of other stuff, but he was one of the co-creators of Frey with Joss Whedon, the book that was about all the other Slayers that was really great. His art was really fantastic. And also artist John Cassaday, who
Also worked with Josh Whedon
yeah
on
on
Astonishing X-Men. Yep.
And he did a lot of
Yeah.
cover work. He did other X-Men books. Like he was a superstar, and both of those guys were in their 50s,
Yeah.
just to keep in mind, like sometimes life actually is short. There's that old adage for a reason, so thank you for all of your work, gentlemen. You'll be missed.
They will forever be remembered in a lot of nerds and geeks for
Right.
all time. They will be, well, James Earl, especially, is timeless. It's, he spans what? Boomers, Gen
Oh.
X, Millennials, Gen Z.
Good Lord.
I
Yeah.
mean, Alpha is the only ones that he didn't touch. So,
Not yet.
but not yet. But I mean, I'm sure like their parents will eventually,
Yeah.
expose them. So it's, but that's a lot of generations to influence. So
Yeah, I mean, what was he like, 91, something like that?
93. He was
93?
93.
Man.
Yep.
Hope I make it to buck 49. That'd be nice. But we'll
Yeah,
see.
you're not helping me, man.
I know. I'm sorry.
That's a
I'm
few years
sorry.
away.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's not that far from me either, but whatever. All right.
Oh,
Let's do some comic reviews. My first book is 0 Hour 30th Anniversary. Since we didn't get to do some reviews the last couple of weeks, I figured we would do some from across the week. So I actually picked a book from each week. This starts out, this is a bunch of different stories. This starts out with a story with Darryl Banks's art. It's just fantastic. It starts out where Kyle Rayner gets pulled through a time loop by a flash from the future. He goes into the future, realizes that in this world, Batman died, Superman died, Barry died, and that's actually Wally. And in this world, like, just shit is crazy. It's the 0 Hour kind of adjacent story. So as he's trying to help Wally, Batgirl shows up and is like, and or Batgirl shows up, beats the hell out of Two-Face, and then is like, "Who are you? Get away from him." And nobody knows who Kyle Rayner is. So she fights him. They go up to Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne is actually, he's not dead. His back was broken by Bane and he never healed. So he's in the
Oh.
super rad, like single tire Batman, like wheelchair with like a giant beard. He looks awesome.
Is it kind of like the Xavier chair from X-Men, where it's like a.
Kind of, I mean, what do you think, Rachel? Is this not the most Batman wheelchair you've ever seen? See? Yeah, see. It's awesome. And he's like, "Well, I gotta find somebody else who knows me." So he tries to find somebody else. In the meantime, like, the villains of this world go up, and Hal Jordan is actually Parallax. But they haven't seen that yet. So he goes, he finds Supergirl. Supergirl's in the black with silver outfit, which is cool. Because you don't see that a lot ever. They have a big throwdown because Superman's dead. Azrael shows up as the new Batman still.
Nice.
Yeah,
Same
it's great.
outfit.
Well,
Nice.
no. This is the secondary outfit, like the Agent of the Bat outfit. Not
Oh,
the, yeah.
that's the crappy one. I don't like that
I
outfit.
mean, they're both cool. I agree that his Batman outfit is actually a little cooler, but
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah,
bad either.
yeah.
I'll be
Well,
honest,
are you talking
story.
like the one where he kind of looks like a hawk? Where they kind of made it look like Hawk more
Yeah, where he
than
has like
Azrael.
the hood and like the swords come out of his gauntlets like
Oh,
that.
that, yeah, I don't mind that. There, but I know in the later, like, first volume there, the artist got like really weird. He had like the
Oh yeah. No, no,
where
no.
he kind of looked like a cross between Dove and Marvel's Falcon,
No, no, no.
where
That's
it looked like a
better.
weird
It's not that bad. It's
combo.
not that bad.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. That's acceptable then. As an
Right.
Azrael
Yeah.
aficionado,
Yeah.
I
This is like
is
Agent of the Bat outfit.
okay. That
Like Barry Kitson style outfit. So then the Ray shows up, Donna Troy shows up, and she's the new Wonder Woman. She lassos him and finds out that he's telling the truth, and he's like, "How many of my ex-girlfriends are gonna show up to this thing? It's crazy." They all get together. Obsidian shows up. The freaking They like show the history of that world where it's slightly different, or it hasn't quite caught up to the other one. But then they realize that that universe has to die for you find out that Parallax needs that universe to die in order to charge his ring enough to where he can control the universe, right? So Kyle's like, Hal, don't do this, blah blah blah. Hal's like in full Parallax, like, nope, gonna kill you. So he's like, they're like throwing, like the hologram, the hard hologram stuff at each other. It's a full on Green Lantern, and I love every second of it. And eventually they realize that they have to let that universe die so that things don't actually get screwed up. So that's pretty much how it ends. There's a huge fight, like Connor Hawks in here. Original Starman is in here.
Yeah, I see that the cover there. That's pretty cool. You don't see original Starman anymore. That's
Right?
very sweet.
Right? Wave Rider's in here.
I see
Lots
the
of great
Ray.
cameos. Yep.
The Ray. Yeah.
Lots of great cameos of guys that that you haven't seen. Invisible Kid from the Legion era. It's a lot. There's a lot of really great cameos in this. And they save the day, and then Parallax gets out of their universe, and then there's like a giant cover gallery at the end, which is awesome. I really enjoyed this book. I really enjoyed very specifically the Nicola Scott cover, where it's Wonder Girl, Batgirl, and Supergirl side by side by side. And I also like Darryl Banks's cover as well. I'm giving this. All right, I'm gonna give this like a ginormous bowl of Cocoa Pebbles, Cocoa Puffs mixed with Frosted Flakes, because there's no more 80s breakfast, 80s, 90s breakfast than that. Like, that is pretty much a kid from the 80s, 90s. That's what you're going to have.
Maybe an OG Pop Tart added
Maybe,
on there.
maybe, just maybe. But that was pretty much it. It's very, very good. I really enjoyed it. Like, if you grew up reading in that era, you're gonna like these books. So, whoops, there you go.
Ah, here we go. For, if there's a Wolverine book, you guys, I have to do it. Now, this is the newest volume. I think this is volume, I want to say 9?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's got to be volume 9. And
So
some of the
interesting.
covers that they did for these, really awesome. Like this one was okay. I got the one where it's the negative space with all the yellow because I never got that first one when they did that first time. This was a redo. So I grabbed that, and I also grabbed the one where it's a black cover and you just see his skeleton shine through in the silver background. It's a awesome cover. A lot of really good covers with this, but yeah, this one was we see Wolverine doing a wolf run with a pack. Obviously, this is in Canada, because of course, in the middle of winter.
Canada.
But we see an old face we have not seen in a long time. We see Cyber
Oh.
hunting Wolverine, and he's going around killing hikers, he's killing wolves to get Wolverine's attention. And
Cyber or Cypher? Okay.
Cypher. We haven't seen him in, oh, it's been a while.
Fair.
Like a long time. Definitely one of my favorite Wolverine enemies. But yeah, he's out hunting and he's killing and But here comes not Wolverine, but Nightcrawler is coming in, and he's simultaneously looking for Wolverine, and he's also trying to figure out what's going on. And as he's traveling, Wolverine attacks him because he's not quite, I think he's trying to, this is like the aftermath of Krakoa, so it's a lot of his mind is still kind of processing things. And when he does this, he does his lone wolf thing, because of course. Well, he smells Nightcrawler's brimstone, kind of snaps him back into reality. And they go and they find a bunch of hikers that were confronted, Cypher, and he I guess he tore this one dude literally half. And they come rushing in, and of course the one dude is like, how dare you? He killed him because he's after someone, and they see Wolverine in his outfit, and they're like, he's an Avenger, and they're like, but he's also a mutant, and of course, humans are throwing stones and shit at mutants. Well, they throw stones, and then someone starts shooting at them. That could be either Cypher or one of the humans. It's not really, you can't really tell because all you see is bullets flying everywhere. Nightcrawler gets hit. And Wolverine's trying to decide whether to go after Cypher or stay with Nightcrawler. He stays with Nightcrawler until one of the campers, who is a doctor, starts treating him. But he goes after Cypher and just beats the piss out of him, And as he's doing this, we get this golden rock that it starts kind of doing like the Venom thing, where it's kind of doing a symbiote type thing, but it's gold. It's not black, it's gold.
Well,
And
I mean, there's Gold Goblin. It might be something off that.
well, you're finding out that it starts talking about the impurity, the impure Ananantium. And I think this is pure Ananantium,
You're saying we're
because
gonna get like a gold animantium Wolverine out of this?
possibly. But first, possibly. And that'd be cool. We haven't seen that in forever, since like what? Avengers. But first, Cypher, who's injured as all can be, he gets attacked by the golden orb, and now his arms are all gold. And that's where the book kind of ends. I'm curious to see where this is gonna go. If he gets golden bones out of this, we better get some really cool ass covers with his new shiny bones here.
And some cool toys. Better get some cool toys. That's more of what I'm
But
looking.
it so far I'm enjoying, it's a nice little teaser. The art is very well done. I love the art. I'm trying to figure out who the artist is for this. I didn't write it down. I'm remembering this straight from my brain, so I did not write this down at all. Normally I write everything down. I did not sit with this, but
All right.
I did read it like three times, so I'm
I mean,
cool.
I had to remember everything from that Green Lantern book from like 3 weeks ago.
Well, I have my older stuff here written down because I had that sitting here at my computer desk for like the last couple of weeks. So those were prepared. This one was off the cuff.
Fair enough.
But let me Since I ate at Eaton Park before my wife went to visit her mother, I'm going to go with an Eaton Park menu item. I'm going to give this a classic breakfast, which includes like an egg, some sausage, some toast. That's basically what you want out of a Wolverine book. Good art, new freaky things that have to do with his old enemies, hateful humans that hate mutants, the usual. I'm down with it, Don't stray too far from the formula.
All good. All right. My next book is Deadly Trails number one from Black Box Comics. So I picked this up on a whim because I was like, huh, Black Box put out a new thing. I was like, oh, that's like a looks like a kind of a like a crazy horror-y Western. I think I'm gonna check this out. So this is by Cameron Gasco and Rodrigo Roca, with colors by Carlos Lopez and letters by Leo McGovern. My boy Demetrios is the editor and publisher. So I will tell you firstly, this book has some really fantastic art, like real fantastic art. If you're into Westerns, it's kind of cool. I'll be honest, the only thing that I thought was not great about this book is I thought it needed a little bit more dialogue. And I don't usually say that. I usually am like, there's too many words. Like, let the pictures do the talking. But this one starts out where there's a guy pleading for his life to this ghostly looking stranger. And he gives him some money. Instead of killing him, he gives him some money and he's like, get out of here. And then you cut to a bar and this gang looking guys come in and they're like, hey man, you're at our table, that's our seat, get lost. And then they're like, oh shit, it's you, Clay, it can't be you, you're dead. And this awesome like fight scene where he has like a flaming whip. It's almost Ghost Rider-y, but not. Like,
It's close.
this is like Ghost Rider, Jonah Hex, and the Wild West Spawn. I can never remember which one he is. You know what I'm talking
Gunslinger.
about. Gunslinger Spawn. It's like mix all those together, and that's what you get in this book.
Jeez.
Right? So after he wrecks the bar keeps like, get out of here. They'll send others, just get out of here. So the guy kills all the bad guys and leaves. This woman is looking through this splash of blood in a very mystical, magical way. That is the only time you see her, so I imagine she's going to be a plot point later. Then you see this young kid shooting bottles in his field, and his dad comes in with a off the horse, and is like, it's like, get inside now. Like, he's like, what the hell's going on? And you find out that the ghostly figure is actually the kid's actual dad. I think the other guy might have been his brother, or his brother, or another guy. Another gang shows up. They have a giant fight at this farm, in which case at one point a axe is thrown and just completely cuts a dude's head off. It is amazing.
Nice.
It's like a beautiful splash page. I love it. They kind of fight this guy. There's like an army of zombie like Western people coming to fight, and they're like, we need to go because there's all these zombies coming. They blow some of them up with dynamite. They have a few more fights. There's more flaming whip action. And then they get on this giant mystical with a rune on its head, buffalo, and ride off to end the first chapter. I just loved how absolutely ridiculously crazy this book was when it came to the amount of action and explosions and like all kinds of stuff. But like I said, it didn't really have a lot of dialogue, which was a little, I wish I had a little bit more to give a little more depth to it. But other than that, I thought it looks great. And the visual story moves very well. So I'm gonna give this a Western omelet with no peripherals. So no extra bacon, no toast, no nothing, no hash browns, just the omelet. And a cold cup of coffee.
Okay.
Yeah. Because he can warm it up with his whip. But I did enjoy it. I really did enjoy it. And go check it out. It's Deadly Trails, number one from Black Box Comics. I'll probably be visiting their booth at New York Comic Con and saying hi to my buddy Demetrius. I think they'll be at Baltimore too, if they're not.
Yeah.
Like, but it was very good.
All right. This is the Incredible Hulk Annual number one, and it is like the Wolverine was the previous week. This was 2 weeks ago, I think, when this came out. Is dealing with the Infinity Watch. As you guys know, the Infinity Stones are kind of taking over people's bodies, or it's giving the people who are around like extra powers or whatnot. This is the Mind Stone story. We see this Mind Stone, aka World Mind, and he is calling to Colleen Wing, which we haven't. I was like, that's really weird for a Hulk book, but World Mind is explaining to Colleen that she was chosen to be his bodyguard by the stone, but she says she isn't powerful enough to really handle anything that he couldn't handle himself. And he keeps insisting, well, you're chosen by the stone, so there's nothing that I can do about this. This is all preordained. And we find out that she is not the only one with World Mind. We see Thanos hunting, because you cannot have an Infinity Stone story without Thanos in it. And at first, like, World Mind kind of is able to hold him down. Thanos does like flick Colleen Wing away like a fly. Yeah, because all she is a martial artist. She's not really much against
That's not true.
him.
She's a sister of the drag or daughter of the dragon. She's a immortal weapon, I believe.
She doesn't use her powers in this story. As he's holding down Thanos with World Mind, he's like, Colin's like, I'm not strong enough to deal with him. And he's like, that's okay. The Mind Stone called another. And who do you think the other is but the Hulk? And as this happens, Thanos does end up killing World Mind. And he has the stone. You think it's over? Well, Hulk says, well, hold my beer. I'm going to start beating the crap out of him. And, he's like, how many times have I have to battle you, mindless brute? I'm stronger than you, blah, blah. And Hulk now is the current Hulk in the current series, where he's not taking crap from anybody. And he's like, "What did you call me?" And he's like, "Called you a mindless brute." And he just Hulk just goes off. He just smashes the living crap out of Thanos. So we get this really epic battle between Hulk and Thanos. Thanos does end up losing the Mind Stone. It gets flung out of his hand. And they continue to fight. But as they do, all of a sudden Thanos can't move. And lo and behold, the Mind Stone has melded with Colleen Wing.
Ooh.
And she takes her sword and just jams it right into Thanos' head. She's like, that's not going to hold him for long, but enough to, kind of, give Hulk another shot at him. And he just takes his fist and just slams his fist down on the Thanos' head. And you just see this squish into the ground. They really did an awesome job showing the brutality of this kind of thing going on. And Hulk is basically telling Colleen, like, next time you tell the stone to F off, because Hulk did not want to be summoned. And Colleen's like, good to know, wasn't me.
Nice.
And he Hulk goes off, Thanos is down, and Colleen is escaping. We also get like a minor story with apparently the Death Stone. And it deals with Agent Coulson, Fury, and Nighthawk are in this story. And we find that Nighthawk, Coulson and Fury are hunting down Nighthawk, while Nighthawk gets behind Fury, and Nighthawk is like, "What are you gonna do? You're just an agent." Well, next thing you know, Agent Coulson turns into this really kick-ass, shadowy-looking figure, and I guess this is part of the Deathstone power. And it was impressive. It kind of was like to be continued type deal, so you don't get the whole story, but it also looked really cool. I hope this is kind of a thing that they keep going with it, but this is definitely one of those surprise annuals that I think everybody should have, because just the battle of Thanos and Hulk itself is worth it. I'm giving this a 2 omelets. This is a 2 omelet one.
Ooh.
One is all meat, and the other one is jalapenos and pepper jack cheese in it.
Like all spice.
All spice. This is for those who want old school Hulk style. This is one of those books that is old school Hulk, just smashing the living crap out of the bad guy, and it just happens to deal with an Infinity Stone as the background. So it was really fun.
Awesome. All right, my last book is The Exceptional X-Men number one. This is another one of the reboots from the ashes of
I
the.
almost picked this up, but
I was
I
like,
am not a fan of Emma Stone, so I was like,
so E. Ewing wrote it. Carmen Carnero is the artist. Nolan Woodward's the colorist. And Joe Sabino is the letterer. So I have to preface, I did not read like the end of the X-Men stuff. So I don't know what happened on Krakoa, really, except for what Justin talked about in his reviews of things. So apparently some real crazy shit went down, especially with Kitty Pryde, because now she's going by Kate and works in a diner. In Lulu's Tavern, sorry, Lulu's Tavern, where apparently they do a lot of mimosa making, because that's what she talks about in the first couple pages. Basically, she's in depression. She's kind of trying to be normal. There's a lot of mutant hate going on again, where everybody's fearful of them. There's like two guys in the bar that make fun of another guy, and she's like, "Well, I'm glad I kind of look normal, so I don't have to deal with that." She lives with her buddy. What's her name again? Where is it? It wasn't here somewhere. Preety. And her dog, Mickey, who is a corgi and is super cute. They draw him very cute. So Preety goes out with their friends to a movie. Katie tries to watch some TV. It's all about mutant hate. Doom scrolls all about mutant hate. And is like, one of my favorite bands is playing. I'm just gonna go to this thing. So she's in line, and there's a couple kids in front of her that try to get in, and all but one gets in, and then you find out that one's a mutant. And she's got like pink braids, or dreads, actually, I think. And she can turn herself kind of metal looking. I think this is the mutant that they eventually will call Bronze. And Kitty kind of steps away from the altercation until till the guy pulls a gun on her, in which case she grabs the girl and the bullet goes right through her head. Then they're like basically running through buildings and crowds to get out of there. Security shows up, they all draw guns on her. They finally get into a car. Kitty takes her home, drops her off. And like she goes in, and her grandma's like, to Bronze, like, you just need to be you. Cut to Kitty waking up in the or going to bed in like the wee hours of the morning with a very terrible looking Lockheed beside her. I don't know if it may be a paper mache version of Lockheed. I don't know. Anyway, she wakes up, she's gonna be late for work. And there's a box sitting there at her door, and she opens it up, and it's a thank you box. There in it, there's a pair of these like star earrings. So she's wearing them to work with like a slightly, we'll call it V-neck, slightly more provocative looking outfit to work. And she's actually smiling, and her boss gives her shit for it. And then cut to across town, and Emma Frost is basically sitting on her deck, scanning different mutants' brains. She's like, Banshee, boring. Aurora, a bit messy for my taste. Bishop, interesting. Move that to the maybe category. Logan, distasteful. Wagner, somewhat passe. And then she's like, well, well, well. And Kitty Pryde's like, oh, headache. And she's like, hello, Catherine. She's like, you may run for the X-Men, but you can't run from me. And then there's this QR code at the end, which I haven't scanned yet. I'll do that after I give my review, because I'm kind of curious now, because I only noticed it. I am excited to see this book move forward, because I'm not a big Kitty Pryde fan, but I'm a big Emma Frost fan. So the Emma Frost part at the end was enough for me to go, okay, I'm excited to see what this team does. I'll at least give it another issue. But I give this like, I give it like French toast with strawberries. Like, I think that's pretty accurate for this book. Like, that's a good review for this book. Because it has a lot, like, there's a lot of, flavor to it. But it's almost like too sweet. You know what I mean? Like sweet enough to make your teeth ache a little bit. So that's why I like it. I'm interested to check out the next book. I think it'll be good.
Okay. All right. My independent book of the 2 weeks ago here. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Black, White, Green, number 4. I've really enjoyed this series. And there's a lot of turtle series, but this one just catches my eye just because of the different stories and the different art styles. Again, 4 stories. I'm not going to get super detailed into some of these because it's been, again, 2 weeks and I just did very, very cliff note versions of what's going on in them. There's a first story is called Legends. It's done in a very traditional Japanese art style, which was kind of cool. And I was almost expecting this to be in like event before the fourth issue, but it was really cool. It was basically a bedtime story told to the baby turtles by Splinter on the heroics of these Japanese ninja warriors, which I think is kind of the essence of how they probably started dreaming and wanting to become these warriors that we know today. So it was kind of a nice little
You know that all like
mini origin is.
radical, radical, radical.
Speaking of, that is the second story. This is how many this is it's called Shredder Gets Caught on Things.
Okay.
And it basically goes through every death slash disappearance of Shredder
Wow.
across media. Like they do the Ninja Turtle movie where he goes into the dump truck
Yeah.
and he gets his head crushed. They do the end of the cartoon series where he gets grabbed by a pterodactyl in the another dimension. Like
Good.
it, what is it? And then the, you know, it go again. It goes through. They show the Nickelodeon one where he gets his butt kicked. You know, it was kind of a really cool, you know, the different ways he was defeated all across the generations of Ninja Turtles, and it was kind of cool. I really kind of like that.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah, the third story is Does This Android Dream of Electric Sheep? This one again, very on point for kind of a manga style, but also a lot of the Matrix, a very Matrixy kind of art style, like kind of current events. Very Linkin Park could have made a video out of this
Yeah.
style. Is it reminds me of that. There are a couple of videos where there was very manga futuristic. It's all done in the first person point of view, and it's basically the cyborg turtle story through his eyes.
Oh, Metalhead?
Yes.
Okay. That's
So that was pretty cool. Yeah, it was an interesting point of view. And like I said, those who were big fans of the Matrix and the manga style of that kind of Japanese peckish Akira type, you know, where
doesn't
it's,
Philip K. Dick style stuff, because that's kind of the title. Like
definitely in that style. The final one is called The Book of Splinter. We see Shredder yelling at a student that has failed him. And we see April and Splinter tied up, because apparently this is like one of those scenarios.
Oh.
But of course, they loosen their restraints and a battle ensues, but it's not the turtles coming to rescue them. It's April and Splinter fighting against the student and Shredder. And we find out as they defeat the student was a cyborg foot soldier. So it was kind of an interesting little story. I wish I wrote more details because I don't remember anything after that point. But it was kind of interesting. Definitely probably the least favorite story out of the four. But hey, 3 out of 4 in a four story book, acceptable. Again, do I need to do like leftover pizza as the breakfast for the, I mean, it's fun. Again, if you're into Ninja Turtles, if you're not picking these up and reading them, you're not a true turtle fan because these are they're wacky, some are serious. It is this is possibly my favorite black, white, whatever color series that I've read this year.
Cool.
So
All right. Well, that wraps up the reviews. So, other than that, oh, so the con I we didn't say who we went to see last night. So Justin and I, along with Scott from the Mills and a couple of our friends, went to the Descendants and Circle Jerks last night at Stage A. And that was my first time seeing the Descendants. I think it was your first time as well.
Yes.
They were freaking phenomenal.
Yes.
For dudes in their 60s, they are kicking a lot of ass.
Yes.
Of ass.
It
All right.
also should. It also is kind of depressing that a lot of the punk bands are getting way old.
Well, I mean, they're like pioneers of hardcore, and pop punk too. Like they were like pop punk bands, if you could say.
Definitely the fa their grandfathers.
For sure.
Literally the grandfathers.
Right? All right. So you're gonna do a spoiler-free Beetlejuice review.
Yes, I will wait till next week and we can kind of get into details about if anybody wants to hear it, because I know Beetlejuice is pop culture, but at the same time is not really comic book.
Yeah, but you know what?
Relevant.
It's from McKee's Rock, so we're going to talk about it.
It's Michael Keaton. First of all the original cast that are in this, it's almost like you didn't leave off. They almost left off from the first one. It's they played their parts well. The new people that they had in there, like they fit the part. I think they had the was it the I guess the fiance slash manager of Lydia. He's kind of a combo of the preppy jerks and Otho
Okay.
mixed into sl slammed into one person.
Okay.
That's my take. That's what the vibe I got. There are a couple bad guys in this. I'm not gonna spoil that. I will say, those who haven't paid attention to the internet, you know who Bob is. Bob is awesome.
Is
What else?
it the same? This is going to sound weird. Is that Bob supposed to be a reference to Bob from Twin Peaks?
No.
Oh, okay. That's a little sad.
No.
So cool.
No, he is the reference to the shrunken head dude from the first one.
Oh, right. Actually, we have a pop of him over there.
Yes. Well,
Yeah.
that they there's a thing that you see throughout. It's again spoiler free, so I'm not gonna get too far into that, but he's there. But Michael Keaton, He could do Beetlejuice in his 90s and still be awesome.
That's all.
So that's the way I look at it. He is entertaining in this. Miss Ortega is excellent as Lydia's daughter. You know, I find hard pressed to find anybody who would fit that description anyway.
Right.
I was gonna say there was a lot of nostalgic hits, but it felt like they're continuing the story, like time has passed, so things are different. But they still say the theme, like, of course, Tim Burton is Tim Burton. Creepy, weird, the usual, you know. Although I have to say, it's less dark than I thought it was going to be. It seemed a little bit more, I don't want to say upbeat, positive. A little bit more positive than normal Tim Burton stuff. There is a musical number. Just like the first one.
Or Bobby McFerrin, because please, that would be great. You can spoil that.
No, it is not. It is
Oh,
not.
sad panda.
Yeah. But you will like it. William Dafoe, very underrated character in this. You will enjoy it. He is hilarious in this. He really took heart to being the character he plays. But yeah, it's good. I enjoyed it. My wife, Cupcake, who is a Beetlejuice, Tim Burton,
Danny Elfman, like,
Danny Elfman, like she literally has Danny Elfman tattooed on her. So, you know, she's obsessed and she enjoyed it. She gave it a high mark. So I'm not going to disagree on that. I enjoyed it. I'm not as much of a, you know, psycho about Beetlejuice, but I do appreciate it, especially for Halloween. It was perfect timing for that going to
well, I
see
know
it.
you're pretty psycho about Wolverine, and just
Yeah.
the rumor today was that the when they do bring the X-Men back into or into the MCU officially, they're not going to have a Wolverine on the team.
Bullshit. That's bullshit. That sucks.
I
Why would you do that?
yes and no. Yes and no, because maybe we're finally going to get the real first class. Maybe finally gonna get a good ass
That's the
ain't
worst. That's the worst version of the accident, in my opinion.
that, and they gotta remind people that other people can be Wolverine. That's not Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, but
We just gotta wait
we
for
just got him back, for fuck's sake.
Daniel Radcliffe to get a little more beefy, and we'll be okay.
I mean, they have to have Henry
That's
Cavill.
all I'm saying.
Henry Cavill has to do it.
Well, Henry Cavill's much younger than Hugh Jackman, though.
He's younger than Daniel Radcliffe.
Is he younger than Radcliffe? I think they're both.
Yeah, he is. He's
No.
like he's 2 or 3 years younger. He's not old.
Hold on. I'm gonna look this shit up.
Remember, Hugh Jackman's like almost 60.
All right. So Henry Cavill.
I think he's in his
He
mid-40s.
is 41.
Oh, geez, he's even younger.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Radcliffe's older than 41.
He is 35. Radcliffe was born in 89, and Henry Cavill was born in 83. So Harry Potter, still younger than Superman. Although
No, I think he's older though.
I think Radcliffe has been in some hilarious shit. Like when he played Weird Al, it was like spot on.
Yeah.
But him
I
and
don't I'm not disagreeing with
like
acting
he's
chops.
amazing in Horns, and he's been doing all kinds of like just weird shit to get people to
Yeah.
forget that he was Harry Potter.
Yeah, my wife watched his action movie.
Oh, yeah.
The one where he gets like gets framed for being like a crazy man or something. It's kind of very what do you call it? Smoking Aces kind of style of movie.
Hold on, I'm gonna look it up. Oh my God. I go to IMDb and the very first thing that I see is like a thing for the new Venom movie. Ugh.
Oh, did you hear about the leaked thing in Venom
No.
that we may be getting Null?
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. That's if Sony doesn't ruin it or Marvel doesn't ruin
Talking about the
it.
Lost City, was that the one? Like he, I mean, he would have
No,
been
no, no. This one was
escape.
he was like a pizza delivery guy or something, and he ends up getting like into like weird circumstances of he gets like framed for murder or something.
Imperial
I
Swiss Army.
it's
Game Changers, train wreck. He was a dog walker in train wreck.
Yeah, this was a more recent one. I didn't know the year, but I know it was on
Well,
streaming and
there's multiple.
Cupcake was watching it.
This is his newest one, but that's a animated. Miracle Workers, Dig Man, which is an animated. Weird Al, professional comedian. Which is a mini series, Lost City. Oh, he was on the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. That's awesome. Escape from Peoria is maybe the one you're thinking of. That was like 2020. Guns Akimbo. Yeah, the Lost City. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking it is too. Because that's the one with like Channing Tatum or whatever.
Yeah, that's not the one I was thinking of. This was something else. 'Cause he literally had guns like screwed into his hands, and he looked like some crazy dude with guns, but he's like, I can't drop them because they're literally screwed into my hands. I just don't know. I can't remember the movie, but
I'm going to try to Google that just to see what happens. Daniel Radcliffe movie with guns. Screwed into his hands. Guns Akimbo.
is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell? Now I kind of want to watch this because it just makes me.
Yeah, it's very like Smoking Aces and what was that other one with the what's his name from original Sin City? Is he Australian or English?
Talking about Snatch.
No. The dude who played Dwight with the where he was fighting the mercenary. He's the one who was Serge Josh Brolin took over his role in the second
I don't remember.
one. But he did the one where he was like an expert shooter movie. Like he could.
Fuck, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name of it either.
Yeah, it
Anyway.
shoot 'em up. Shoot 'em up. That's what it is.
Anyway, this I'm reading the thing of this, and this sounds like the most like I would have to be very high to enjoy this movie. But I kind of want to watch it because it sounds ridiculous. So anyway. All right, cool. Well, I think that's we'll end it on that extremely weird note of Daniel Radcliffe with guns screwed into his hand.
I would still go for Henry Cavill as Wolverine. I'm cool.
I mean, I don't know who actually would have, but I really want them to have Bill Skarsgård be Angel because I think he's
Yeah.
great because he's tall and he's lanky and he would do it well.
Well, let's see that they don't screw up X-Men again. Let's put it this way: fingers crossed they don't screw it up.
Right.
Worry about what's coming out, which isn't a lot. I don't think there's anything for the rest of what Agatha Harkness comes out in
So there's Venom and
middle of this month is Agatha Harkness starts, I think.
there's Venom and Kraven and Agatha are this year, and then next year is Fantastic Four, Thunderbolts, and Falcon or Falcon Cap, or Cap Four, depending on how you want to look at that. I've just always referred to him as Falcon Cap. I'm sorry, I'm gonna do that. Like,
Yeah, that's
refer to
fine.
Bucky Cap as Bucky Cap. I do not
Yes.
refer to Captain America. I refer to him as Bucky Cap. He is my favorite Captain America because he had like the most like ninja looking outfit and was gun toting and was awesome. It was great. Anyway, thanks for watching, guys. We will catch you next week. Again, it'll be early in
Yep.
the morning. Well, not early.
Yeah.
But it'll be in the morning. It'll be at like 10
Yeah.
o'clock. So,
Yeah, so make sure you catch us on Spotify and YouTube. And if you're not going to join us live, at least, listen, share, subscribe, the whole nine yards. We keep forgetting to say that stuff. And we'd like to, grow a little bit. I'd like to see, at least like, can we get like 200 people to listen to us?
yeah, we're at like 160 right now, I think. So,
Well, that 200 for the end of the year is a good.
do it. Like, share,
Yeah.
subscribe, get us up to that 200 mark.
Yeah.
Remember,
Yeah.
if you're in
Down for
Baltimore
it.
next weekend, say hi to us.
Yes.
Seriously, you can just.
I will be coloring the hair. I did get a haircut, so unfortunately, no mohawk. Because my hairstylist was like, "Hey, you have too much dead hair, so it all has to go." So I just have this little fluff in the top. So I'm a sad panda because I don't have my
Gonna
mohawk.
dye it all blue.
That is the plan. It's either the blue purple mixture that looks really good. So I think that's what I'm
Fuchsia.
gonna go for.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had a buddy who had a base that was fuchsia colored. It was very, very hot. I liked it.
All
Right. We'll see you later, guys. We'll talk
right.
next week.